everyone, and welcome to our April 2024. I can't believe I'm saying that already. We're 4 months into the year, but our April podcast with the Simple Farms LLC creator and founder and Cheyenne Wells, Colorado farmer, Scott Scheimer. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Lori. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. It's like you said, looking at the calendar going, holy cow, here we are. We are moving fast.
Man, we are. Spring hits and really the farming industry just kicks into gear and moves so fast. I've seen a lot of farmers around here in Northeast Colorado doing a lot of burning and just getting in there, field prep, field work, waiting for these soil temperatures to get a little bit higher and get going. The wheat is growing like crazy. It's so beautiful. I'll tell you, Scott, and I know I'm making this a long question, but in visiting with Colorado wheat, I was actually kind of surprised to hear how many issues are actually out there. A lot of farmers have lost their wheat just due to dry conditions or wind or things like that for this year. Have you experienced any of that in your area?
You know, we haven't had a loss yet, but we are in a tough situation down here. I think 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, there was a nice snow up on I-70. It wasn't very far from us, but we're about 30 miles south and it missed us completely. We're needing moisture now. We got in a hurry, top dressed. The forecast was showing some moisture and we missed it. And then with these winds and these temperatures getting up, the wheat start to show some stress. So our wheat really hasn't popped. It's kind of sitting there waiting. And I'd sure like to see it a little more green.
Has it broken dormancy at all?
Yes, we broke dormancy. Our rye is really popping. You know, rye has a lower level of a dormancy break. And it's cruising along. But it's, again, it's kind of like the wheat. It's the last week, it's kind of stalled out. I think it's just, it's needing a drink.
All right. Well, hopefully that will come our way. I would think I'm safe in saying a lot of Eastern Colorado did miss out on that snow. We got a brushing of it, but really it blew away and that was that.
Yeah. But, no, I've talked to customers of ours over in Kansas and, they look really good, but their wheat is big. They're getting a little nervous for the size of their wheat right now, but everything looks good that way. We made a little trip to Florida here over the weekend and, we flew pretty low this trip. The wheat looked really good all the way. Clear day, and the wheat looked good all the way through Kansas. It was gorgeous.
Oh, wow. So you flew low enough you could see that. That's neat.
Well, yeah, window seat on the airplane. But, yeah, I don't know why. We were at 20,000 feet till about the middle of Kansas. So,
Okay. And then I know I've asked you this before, but remind me, how many acres do you have planted to wheat right now?
This year we're sitting on about 3,000 acres to wheat.
Okay.
And another 2,000 acres in rye.
All right. And are you going to be doing any more planting here this spring of anything else?
Oh, geez. Yeah. We're kind of really trying to shift out of wheat acres. So we have got a lot of corn acres, some milo acres. We've shifted some corn acres to corn. We know we got a little more market with the corn than we do the milo and a little more diversity with it. So, and then we got millet. And we're doing a little bit of irrigated soybeans. So we got the sprinklers all ready. In fact, as soon as we get off, I'll go up and fire them up. We've been a little slow getting the drops put back on, but today we're going to fire up sprinklers.
Wow. Yeah. Season is moving quick. You're talking about sprinklers.
I know it. I know it.
Well, another activity on your farm there, Scheimer Farms, I saw on social media, you put in a wind turbine. Tell me about that.
We did. So throughout the winter doing the trade shows, this was more of my dad's project. And he was looking for some tax credits and just looking for a diversity on the operation. And so I let him move forward on the project. And we did. We put up one of those little independent wind towers. And based on our utility use records, our shop, our elevator, our office, everything are in one location. And so it showed that we would benefit from the use of that wind tower. And anything that we produce over does go back into the grid. And we're on the KC Electric Network, and they buy back whatever we provide. So the turbine is not spinning yet. The wind's been blowing like crazy, but we don't have the power linked up yet. We're hoping to have the power hooked up this week yet. And then we'll see what happens from there.
Okay, a couple of questions then. Will the ultimate return on investment then be that you're powering your operation from that?
I think it's a combination. It's a big investment, but definitely if you're looking for some capital gains tax breaks, It benefits there. I think the biggest thing is the rebates and the tax breaks on it. What we're hoping at is maybe a 7-year return. So we'll see. That's kind of a golden rule on us. The investment needs 7 years or less to make a return for us to make a move on it.
Scott, just a point of clarification. When you mentioned power, what did you mean by that exactly? Power to and from what?
Well, it needs to tie into our grid. It'll tie into our whole, we just haven't trenched the power into our panel box so that it can start powering our facilities.
I got you. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And so that's all on you then to do that. The power company, Casey Electric, doesn't do any of that part?
Correct. All Casey Electric will do is change out their meter once we get the power in and inspect it. So it's all independent. Yep.
Okay, very cool. And so when do you expect it to actually be in operation?
Hopefully by next week. So yeah, our electrician's actually here in the yard right now working on some things. So
I have one other question, I guess, on that, because especially in Washington County, there's been a little bit of contention, I guess is the right word I'm looking for, on wind turbines. A lot of landowners are concerned about those turbines being close to them, and the commissioners are trying to come up with rules and regulations or modifying them. Did you have to go through any special permits in Cheyenne County or anything you had to do for this?
Not for our personal turbine, but we do have Xcel's power line network coming right through Cheyenne Wells and on our ground. And we do have a wind farm just to the north of town. And there's been two that are platted for just south of us. Nothing's been approved on those, but the one up north is up and running. So yeah, there's some guidelines and, they do. We have a county seat group that approves development as well and then goes through the commissioners.
Scott, do you have any personal feelings on things like this being around you, whether it be wind turbines, solar panels, et cetera?
No, they're great revenue. You know, I've told people they're a better revenue source than an oil well. And I can remember as a child sitting in the coffee shop, old timers saying they don't even want a dang oil well on their ground. I thought that was silly, and now everybody farms around them and gets along. It definitely kills our view. Our scenery's changed a lot, especially with the big power lines. The windmills to the north flashing red all night long, but you can't change it, so we just try to get along.
And how long is the life expectancy for the wind turbine that you just constructed?
They're saying 25 to 50 years. There's a maintenance level and a replacement level on the blades, but I don't know a lot of the details on it. That was a project I let my dad take care of and I just approved, but I don't know all the details on it. We do have a couple neighbors, not close by, but a gentleman I farm next to over from Kansas that have them up as well and have had them for a little over a year and feel that they're working for them. So we talked to them first before we put ours up.
And this might be a long shot question, and I know you said your dad's handling that, but as on the farm as a whole, will this be information that you will enter into your Simple Farms app?
It could. We do have utility expenses in the program, okay. So it will definitely affect the utilities. It's, the pivots are the big utility, the grain elevator and the shops, there's seasonal utilities, but we'll include it. It won't be a needle mover in the program, I can tell you that, but it'll show up. We'll put it in the program.
All right. And then moving on, other things going on Scheimer Farms. How are your cattle doing right now with the drier conditions? And did you calve or anything like that?
Calving's going right now. So everything's going good there. Yeah, the cattle are all right. They're still on some stocks. We'll be moving them on grass probably in the next week or so. We're starting to get that early grass. The kochia weeds are just starting to pop. And if we can get a lick of moisture with this temp, things will explode in a hurry. And that's kind of what we're waiting for, is just a little lick of moisture.
You're the second person who has mentioned kochia. So something we're definitely going to have to be watching for. I'll tell you, in the latest Colorado Crop Progress report, there are some reports of calf losses due to mud. And I'm like, where?
Oh, gee. Yeah, that's not us.
Western part of the state, actually. But
yeah.
It was kind of weird to read that. All right. So calves. Okay. How about shrimp? How's that going?
Good. Jim and Julie harvested another round last week. And I think Julie posted some of those on. And got them to the customers. So we'll probably do another round here in a couple of weeks. And then we've got a couple tanks that Jim and I talked about. We're going to hold them as long as we can and see how big we can get some of these guys. I've been wanting to push them. See if we can't get up to maybe just about a 4-count quarter pound size prawns. So we'll see what happens.
And Scott, how many batches, I don't know what the right word is, batches of shrimp do you anticipate getting yearly on average?
So we bring in about 3,000 little shrimp, little guys, 12-day old. And we hope to grow them up to where we're harvesting about 200 pounds worth of shrimp. So, you know, it's all based on just size. It's no different in livestock. You know, you can have big calf, little calf. So we're taking them. Our standard number is a 20 count, 20 make a pound. But we get some guys that are a little bigger than that. And that's what we're trying to do now is just push a little bigger. But if we can move about 200 pounds out for each round, that's what we're looking at.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the shrimp?
Just keep working on the system. We will shut it down for this coming winter. The temperatures, it's just so hard to maintain all the utilities on it and everything. It's expensive. Okay. Yeah, through the winter. The summer's not a problem because we got to hold the compartment at 83 degrees. But in the winter, 83 degrees can be pretty difficult with those winds and 20 below.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay. Last time we had touched on your orchard project. How's that coming along?
Yeah, that's not coming along. Time. It's just time. The area where we want to put everything's in shape, ready to go. It's just I haven't even ordered my whips. And personnel-wise, we're short a guy. And so we just, these extracurriculars have been a little difficult. We're rocking and rolling in the fields. We just got the planter ready to go. We got to get the air drill ready to go for our millet plantings. We're working on equipment. We're shipping a lot of grain right now. We're finally getting the opportunity to move some grain. So got the trucks on the road. So everybody's a little busy doing other projects. So that's kind of fallen to the wayside. Probably we'll have to wait till next year now.
All about priorities, right?
It is. It's just balancing the priorities all the time.
And then segueing and looping that back to the Simple Farms app. The margin analysis tool. I can only imagine what your app looks like as you have all these different sub things that you do on your farm.
Yeah, they're supplemental. So they go into more of the business expense and income category, not necessarily margins across the board. Everything's tied to the corn, the milo, the wheat, you know, those analysis. But you can throw anything as crazy as you want in there for diversity. As far as the program itself too, you know, we're using it right now to, we just finished having negotiations on cash rent. And so we use the program to show what we've done historically and where these market prices are at and our anticipated yields. And so renegotiating some structures, using the program to show that. And then we're out in the fields running. We've got a few guys that have just signed up with the program this week. They're like me. I can't remember what I did last year or the year before using the program just to refer to what you had done historically just on inputs. And so we've actually sold a couple programs just for guys just to figure that out, let alone doing their margins.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't talk about that side as much, do we? So that's a
really good point. Because it's such a data collection point. You know, we can refer to any field and look at it historically. What did we do there last year? And I do the same. I'm out in the sprayer. I'm like, okay, what did we do on our millet last year where we had great success? And look, last year on the program, oh, yeah, we used so many ounces of rifle, so many ounces of D. We put some Explorer out there, plus our fertility. So use that as a reference tool just to look back and then look at the financials on that and run those margins. Maybe make a tweak on the fertilizer based on the yield anticipation.
And then, Scott, that being said, as you've been visiting with folks like these two that just signed on to the program, are you getting any other common questions right now?
Most of them, people like to do inventory. Simple Farms does not do an inventory program. It's capable of it. We would have to design some filters in the program to do that. It's just tracking what you have purchased and what you're applying and not tracking all the volumes. But that's a big question. We have a lot of people wanting to look at inventory. So that's definitely a feature we would like to put into the program later.
Okay, very good. Any other out and abouts or anything that you've been doing with that program?
No, the biggest thing is we are still working with Locus Ag in the carbon credit market. And they're a big data collection platform for the carbon sequestering. And they need to know a lot of things that Simple Farms already does, as far as all your inputs, not necessarily your chemical inputs, but your fertility inputs. If you are doing tillage practices or strip tilling practices, those need to be put in. Cattle, so we can even put into Simple Farms, hey, when we ran how many head on so many acres, cattle are important in the carbon program. And so we put all those features in, and we are working with Locus to actually make a filter for them for their carbon program. Oh. And so Vic Verconi, the CEO, is actually visiting us here in about 30 minutes after we're done with this interview. And he's come out from Columbus to meet with us, and we've been working together, but this will be his first visit out in Shinewell. So it's kind of exciting.
That's very cool. Yeah. Nice little collab there.
Yeah, absolutely. So the development team is working on that feature. We will present it to Locus, and if it's a go, we will build it and integrate it in the program, and it'll be there for next season. It won't, you know, it takes a little while to build this.
Sure. And remind me how long you've been taking part in this program?
This will be year three for us in the program, in the carbon credit program.
And was there a certain amount of time you had to commit to that?
Yeah, it's a 4-year contract. So we're on year three. And then after you commit 4 years, they allow you to do a year to year structure. So you can meet year to year after you've committed that many years.
Yeah, I think you've probably mentioned that to me before. I just couldn't remember. But you've seen a lot of value and benefit from this.
We have. We actually just registered a few more acres. We just will consistently do that. We didn't throw all our eggs in one basket. You know, everybody's learning this program. My entire farm is not in the carbon program. We still adding a few more acres, and we still got more acres laying out there. We'll probably continue to do that just to test the water and learn from others.
All right, Scott, anything else here to mention today on things that are going on or with the app?
With Simple Farms, we've just, the biggest thing is we've got all our inventory coming in, our products, you know, all our different products are starting to come into the place and get ready to start planting. So we're mixing biologicals and humics and organic fertilizers. So we've got quite a concoction of things coming in. We are out putting our pre-emerge down. So the big thing is with Simple Farms is you go in and changing those price points, communicating with the supplier. What's this price point on this product, and make sure we enter it before we start putting it down. So that's kind of a big thing. And then look, comparing to what we paid for products last year relative to this year, that does show up in the program. And just seeing the comparisons and then watching these markets, we're really trying to find opportunities to price this wheat crop right now. Corn, I don't know. We're so far out. I'm a little nervous about the corn market prices. Hopefully we get a rally here.
Yeah, I think I've heard that a few times as well.
Yeah. Good for the cattle guys, but
that's how it always is though, right?
Yep.
The pair ones down here and then it flip-flops.
Yep. The diversity. It's important.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining me here today. How do we find out more about that Simple Farms app?
Yeah, just check it out at simplefarms.ag. And we are working, I guess, another thing, we are working on a new website. So hopefully have that pushed here before long, and a little cleaner, nicer, more features. And it'll even have links to it, to your podcast here, Lori. So
excellent.
Looking forward to put that out. Yes.
All right. Well, always good to check in with you. I wish you a safe spring season here as you move along.
Thanks, Lori. And let's all pray for moisture.
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. All right. Scott Scheimer, he is the founder and creator of the Simple Farms LLC app, the margin analysis tool, and of course, a farmer in Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. Thanks for tuning in to our April edition of this podcast. I'm Lori Boyer.